I'm going to pray as we open up the word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your provision. Lord, thank you for your surprises. Lord, thank you for the communion that we get to share, the community, the common unity that we have in a need of a Savior that we get to celebrate this morning. Lord, I pray now as we open up your word that your light and salt would not only fill us, but then be reflected to the world we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been working through this sermon series called Living by Faith. And our theme verse is what? We live by faith and not by sight. Talk about what are those ways that we get to live. You know, it's not just one of those messages or verses that we say, oh, that sounds good. But really, what is it that looks like? What is it that we get to live out? I think, how many of you here believe that there's a God? Hopefully. How many believe that God loves and cares about you? And Hebrews 11:6 says what? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believing that God exists and that he cares about us will change us how we live. That's what we're talking about, living by faith. Believing that there is an invisible God who put the world together. There's an invisible God who sent his son Jesus. To be invisible has become visible. And the person of Jesus Christ, the created exact representation of who God is. It's interesting, as you talk about this step of faith, if you believe that God exists and you believe that he cares about how we live, then that is the first step of faith. That is the first step of faith. As I look back at 650 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Speaking of Jesus, the Messiah that will come, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and one of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. What? The Spirit will rest on him. The same Spirit that is the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the same Spirit that is of counsel and of might, the same Spirit that is the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus is going to delight in the fear of the Lord. It's fascinating. We talk about the fear of the Lord. It's really reflecting on the awesomeness of God. All the fullness, all the completeness, from creativity to wisdom to power to ingenuity to being able to create something from nothing. To delight yourself in the awesomeness of God. That as he was filled with that Spirit, the same Spirit that Jesus benefited and gained from all these things, is the same Spirit that God plants in every single believer. That's awesome. To say the least, it's kind of an understatement. How do you understand that? How do you wrap your head around that? If you want to learn to be like Jesus, which, by the way, that is the goal of us as Christians, to be image bearers of God, to be reflective, to become more like Christ, we get to delight in the fear of the Lord, and it will change us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. I want to add another one to that. This is in Scott chapter 1. The fear of the Lord leads to planning. It's like, oh. Didn't you just cover that last week, Scott? Why do you want to bring that up again? This fear of the Lord leads to planning. I want to continue talking about living by faith and planning. I want to give it another context, though. The fear of the Lord leads to planning in the church. Capital C. We're part of the church throughout the world, the church in Turkey, the church in the U.S., the church, in this part of the hemisphere. The spirit of the fear of the Lord leads to planning. When you and I delight ourselves in the Lord, it's going to lead to things that we put in place, say, what can I do to honor God? What can I do differently in how I live my life? What is it that I'm going to do? Plan to do good. Plan for the future. Plan to mature. Plan to spend time with God. Plan to pray. Plan to love. As you think about your planning to honor God, what is it that you're planning to do to honor God this year? As a pastor, as a church, I'm not just concerned about our personal planning, my personal planning, your personal planning. I'm concerned about what we plan to do as a church. I want to lead a church that plans to delight ourselves in God. What's the mission? What's the mission of the church? You know, I bet this message, this mission is preached all over the world. We all know it, right? God has created the church for his mission. He didn't create the church and then create a mission for it. Gee, what is the church going to do? I'm going to create a mission. No, he has a mission to come and save the world. And he says, how am I going to do that? I'm going to create church, my children, to fulfill this mission. We know from Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. They call that the Great Commission, right? There also is the Great Commandment, Matthew 22, which is the greatest commandment, they asked Jesus. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The assignment from God is clear for his church. The assignment is that we get to teach people how to obey, that we get to teach people what it looks like to love God with all that he's given us, all that he's created us to be, and to love our neighbor the way we would love ourselves. When you and I, when we walk out this plan, if you want to walk out this plan, this doesn't just happen. We have to make a plan to walk this out. We have to make a plan. What does that look like? For you and I to walk out this assignment in church planning, it's like, why don't we just go and copy a successful church? Let's go just copy a plan that they have. Let's just duplicate that. I mean, didn't Solomon say there's the wisest man who ever lived? Like, there's nothing new under the sun, right? Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new. It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. I just think about it as I think about what has been always around, nothing new under the sun. As we forget, I think about communication. Communication. How did the first people communicate? And obviously this is not an extensive study of history, but I think about the first, what is it? We communicated. I'm kind of embarrassed, but somebody snapped my picture when I was running. But when you're trying to get a message to somebody, you would run from town to town, right? And then invention, technology brought what? The telegraph. How many guys know Morse code? You? SOS maybe. Morse code. Then what happened after that? The invention of what? The telephone. You guys, that, some of you guys that are younger may not even know, that is a telephone. It has a little crank on the side to get the electricity going through it, and that little microphone in the front, and a little earpiece, and you had to go through a operator. And then it got really wild, we had a rotary phone. Did you know that they showed this to kids and they kept pushing the button? They couldn't figure out, how do you make this thing work? You put your finger in the hole and you have to rotate the little wheel to the number you want. And then what? A whole generation of cell phones. Ironic, you remember the satellite phones? Big old things that you had to, they came out in suitcases, right? Little suitcases, you open it up and you break out your satellite phone. I think it's ironic that if you look at the history, we see them start really big and get really small, and then what happens? It's gotten back big again. Granted, it's a computer, you know, whether it's your iPad or whatever that you can make phone calls on through Wi-Fi. The technology, what is it that they're accomplishing? Communication. Methods and technology have changed. And culture has changed, and so you adapt, but there's nothing new under the sun. How about transportation, right? Walking, riding, driving, flying. I'm waiting for the transporter, right? I don't know if that'll ever be, but that'll be cool. Transportation. I think about how the mission is the same. How many of you have learned a life lesson or faith lesson in your life? Hopefully you've learned a few, okay? My question is, do your children, those of you who have children or young people that you're influencing and mentoring, do they have to learn the same lesson? Why can't you just explain yourself to them? Well, you can't just say, hey, I just want to let you know that if you do that, you're going to get hurt. And they do it. Why? Because they have to learn it for themselves. They have to learn that lesson. I mean, we can be teachers and we can maybe coach them along the way, but they have to learn their own lesson. From eons, there's been mom saying or dad saying, you're going to hurt yourself when you do that. Those things that have, stupid things have been repeated. Although there is nothing new to mankind under the sun, it's still new to us. It's still new to us. Planning really is our own way to express what we think is important. It's a way to express what we've learned. It's a way to remind us what we're endeavoring to accomplish. It's a way that we navigate our own growth and change in life. I think about planning. It reminds me of that old adage that says that if you aim at nothing, you're guaranteed to hit it. I said that to my middle school friend. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, what are you aiming at? He says, nothing. He's like, oh, I get it. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. Planning is a way to aim at something. What are you planning for? What are you aiming at? Planning is a way that we get to practice what we believe. Planning is a way that we get to practice what we've learned. Planning is a way that we get to implement change. To say, I don't like the way this is going. If I want it to change, I have to put a plan in place and do the hard work of creating a habit. Not only, as we talked about last year, something that I do differently, but something that I look at life differently. As I think about planning, here's an illustration about change that we can see from business. Anybody recognize these fast food chains? That obviously, that first one is a little bit old because they've already got 1 million burgers that they made. Then they went to 1 billion, right? Now they say, they don't even say it anymore, but it went to billions. And then, did you know that Burger King has always been the home of the Whopper? And then I can remember Taco Bell. Back in the beginning, they had that fireplace outside that ran all the time because the gas, you know, it, and the rocks that heated, it was so, I was like, I want to go there. I want to sit around the fire and have my taco or have my burrito. But think about those things that happen and what happens if you, some of you wouldn't even recognize that, especially the ages that have changed. What have they become today? We look at Burger King there has in 1989 to give you kind of a little bit, say in the 90s, we saw a rebranding, didn't we? You recognize those? McDonald's, a rebranding? Burger King rebranding? Taco Bell? They didn't stay that way, did they? Look at this new, the last generation that we're currently in, McDonald's. Where is the Golden Arches? It's now a swoosh. Burger King, it's just not block letter Burger King, it's like snazzy Burger King. And Taco Bell, we just saw them redo our in town, didn't we? They closed it down for months while they redid it. You're thinking, all that business that they're losing. And you can go back, see, all the way through COVID, there was a line always waiting for food, rebranding. Rebranding. Why? Because it's required for a business to survive. They have to rebrand. What is the importance of rebranding? Just changing things. But they not only change just the logos, but you go inside, they change the whole inside. The color scheme, more modern colors, new furniture. They're not comfortable. They weren't comfortable before. They're still not comfortable. They call them 10-minute seats. Get your food and move out of here. Rebranding. Why? Because there's a whole new generation that needs to rethink. Why are we doing? What are we trying to sell? Has their menu changed? No, they're still selling burgers. Or maybe they've added bacon or avocado or maybe a breakfast sandwich or maybe it's a latte that you can get with your breakfast sandwich. Or maybe it's the latest Mountain Dew combination. Even those all have new logos, don't they? Just because there's nothing new under the sun doesn't mean we don't need to change. Changing logos, building facades, changing furniture says that we care about you. We care that we want your business. We care that we, our change in logo says that we're doing something new and different. Come and see what we're doing that's different. And we think, well, it's really, they haven't changed a thing. And maybe it's new wrappers. Maybe it's now it's cardboard instead of styrofoam because they're connected with their culture. And they're like, we don't want to add to the trash of the world. And so this is what we're doing. Come to our, buy our hamburgers because we care about the ecology of the world. The businesses that don't change or are slow to change never grow or even are no longer here. Any guys remember shopping at Montgomery Ward's? Or Sears? Or Tasty Freeze? Which is now locally Hasty Freeze? Or A&W? I love Papa Burgers. All those things that have been done. There's nothing new under the sun. But if you and I don't change, we will stop growing and we'll stagnate. Something new. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing something new. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is doing something new. Don't allow your disappointments, your past experiences, and your hurt to allow you to become stagnant. But make space for God to come and bring something new into your life. As we think about what we plan for church, that we want to make room for God to do something new, we need to grow and we need to learn so that we can welcome a new generation that has different perspectives on what life is about. There's different needs. Just because there's nothing new, you had your needs and God met them in a significant, specific way. But we have a new generation. The needs are still the same, but it looks different. We need to be listening and looking. What is this current generation looking for? What is it they're seeing in the world? What is it their definition? Don't allow, just because there's nothing new under the sun, is like, I can remember just the old guy driving in the car. He says, "Honey, how come you don't tell me you love me anymore?" And you've probably heard it. He says, "Honey, I told you I loved you when we got married. Why do you need to hear it again?" Those things that we need to constantly be pursuing and say, "Hey, I still care, and it looks different than it did 10 years ago, 20 years ago." I just think about just facades, and we've seen rebranding. And we've even maybe gone in some places hoping that the food will be better. And you go in and it looks good. They've got all new furniture and new outfits that people work, and it's the same old, not good food. So I'm not naive. As I talk about planning for church and rebranding, I'm not naive to say that the way things look change what's inside. But I will say that what is inside, if God is changing us on the inside, it will change what's on the outside. And as we go into this 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're praying that God will change us on the inside so that what our church represents to our community is different. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking a new branding, a vision for Lebanon Foursquare Church. It's going to not be a new mission statement in the sense that Jesus still called us to go and make disciples. But it's going to have a new name to it that will allow us to be challenged. It'll allow us to be creative and allow us to communicate in ways that our culture will understand. Some of you know, how many guys know how old I am? I'm super open about it. I didn't used to be. 45, exactly. You get the prize, Rich. 45 plus 20. I will be 65 in June. I'm so young. But I just think about, just as I think about my energy, is not what it used to be, but I am not going to allow my energy or my age to stagnate me. Amen. Status quo is not okay. Because God called us to change, and it takes work to pay attention. What has God called us to do? The purpose of this change is to bring, like I said, creativity and communication to our culture, to bring a fresh face to the mission as a church, and to tell our community that we have something that you're looking for. We want you to pay attention. I think about just as I plan, as our leadership team plans, is by faith I believe that when we commit to the Lord whatever we do, He will establish our plans. Proverbs 16:3. That I'm asking you to join as we live by faith in planning church, that we would recognize that God is the God who pulls it all together. God is the God that brings ideas to our mind. God is the God of creativity as we walk out fresh ways to bring the gospel to our community. Fresh ways that God would touch our hearts and help us to see things that we haven't seen before. There are seasons. What's the biblical precedence for rebranding? I can just hear it now. It's like, oh, you're kidding me. I can't believe Scott's preaching this message. rebranding. And I was like, there's a couple things. I was on my walk this week, and I was like, God, you do an annual rebranding every year. What do the trees in your gardens look like right now? They are pathetic. All the leaves are gone. My garden has nothing but weeds in it. Our whole back fence that is littered with irises and other flowers, there's not a single one showing. And what happens every year? God rebrands. Amen. Spring comes and the flowers come up. And then another color. And then another one. The leaves come back. And just, you notice it. You've seen it. If you keep an eye on it, you'll see the buds. And if you're not paying attention, literally in a matter of days, leaves come out. We're always fascinated every year. And I'm like, God, you're king of rebranding. You know, us, it's like, those leaves are just fine. Why do you need to take those leaves off? Because God knows that when we see something new, we are drawn to it. We take note of it. We have hope of something new and fresh and different, even though there's nothing new under the sun. Mankind needs God's Holy Spirit to fill him, to change him, to allow him to press into things that are new, that are new. Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I love that verse because he doesn't say, I have made everything new. He says, I am making everything new. I choose, and I want our church to choose, to be being made new. Be being made new. The kingdom of God is not the God of status quo. He's a God of change. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. We have seasons of life groups. We change topics. There's a mix of groups. With a change of Bible studies, it's not the same one. It's a new way. We need new, fresh ideas, new relationships, new conversations, so that we can be being made new. If you've been around our church, you see that we've added changed restrooms. When I first got here 10 years ago, there were two single stall restrooms. And it was not uncommon for people to see him do the potty dance outside the door, waiting for somebody to come out so they could go in. And so we improved our restrooms. We redid our nursery and painted it and made it welcoming. We've painted the outside and we worked around the building putting up siding and lighting, and we've painted and we continue that process. This year our council has been talking about updating our sanctuary, and funds have begun already come in for that. We're going to change the ceiling, put up new drywall on the ceiling, because this is really ugly. You know how you become status quo is when you don't even see the ugly anymore. Right? Like that commercial that comes in, their house needs painted, and everything somebody says, it just looks pathetic. As we want to paint and redo our stage decor and make it welcoming, we want to paint the whole sanctuary and redo the sconces, and maybe you can even get rid of the fabric above the windows so that when people come in, maybe even, God willing, change the lighting. This is, do you know these lights are so old, they're cool again? You know, and I remember when we wanted to do the restrooms, I had somebody say, why do I want to change the restrooms? There's nothing wrong with them. I don't know about you, I'm really glad we updated the restrooms. Those things that we have to say, okay, what can we do to say that we're changing? Again, that we're changing on the inside. That God is renewing us and it impacts what's on the outside. Will you join me in living by faith, in planning church, planning your own change, partnering in how we do church together so that we tell the world, like, we are not staying the same. God is changing us from the inside out, and it impacts how we live. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come and worship you. Lord, I just think about it, a busy morning, but all the voices, Lord, that you work through worship, through communion, through testimony of prayer journaling. Lord, to conversations that have come through, even we had people come from the other side of the world this morning. They came to service this morning to join us, to celebrate with us. God, you are doing a new thing. Lord, would you help our finite, little, fragile persons that we are to not stifle that. Lord, that we would walk in the simpleness of change that we can make to make room for the kingdom that you're bringing in this world. Lord, that we would tell the world that, God, you make all things new. Lord, I thank you for my church. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Jesus, because of you, that you made it all possible. We love you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.